Beautiful. Thank you, Reverend Ryan McDonald. He's a good boy, good man. I remember when he's standing up here talking about praying in the family. At one time, years ago, I forgot what it was, but Mom, Nani, was going through something. I don't even know what it was. I don't remember. I don't think I caused it that time. I caused it most of the time, but we sat down in a circle on the floor, and I said, "Boys, today we're going to pray for your mom. We're going to lay our hand on her, and we're going to give her what she doesn't have." I can't remember if it was Ryan or Ben, but they looked at me right in that moment, just little boys. They said, "Daddy, if we give that to her, does that mean we won't have it anymore?" It is those moments of that innocence that can never be replaced. And God hears those prayers. He really does. Teach your kids to pray. Teach them. If you're sick, have them come right up. Slap their hand right on your forehead. Pray and believe that God will heal you. Amen. I want to say to everyone, thank you for your faithfulness in giving. You have made a difference. Thank you so much. Every year at this time of year, we create a year-end giving opportunity. And this year, we've done that. We're not doing bulletins and things like that, so you get it on a paper. So you have to look on our Facebook page or our website to see what that is all about. And this year, it's doing some updates, some work on the sanctuary, the entrance lighting, some things in the outback. And I just pray that you'll consider that and be a part of that. The Lord has helped us, even in the middle of everything that we are going through and are facing. We received a grant a couple months ago to buy another large commercial freezer and refrigerator for our food pantry, which is right across the parking lot, 15 Center Street. I'm still amazed sometimes that some people don't know that we have that. It's open every Thursday from 11 to 1 and every Saturday 10 to noon. And so they brought those, I think, a little over a week ago. And thank God for that. So FoodLink was the grant giver on that. We have not received the check from them, but I know we will. The check is in the mail. For almost $5,100 for those. That was a gift to the kingdom, to the work of the Lord here at the City Church in St. Anthony's. And then I think it was probably 5 months ago, we received another grant for some work to do on the building there. And we talked, we decided let's put in a couple new overhead doors on that side of the Generation Center, which they are. We've never done anything with those doors in the building, and so when we ordered them, the gentleman, I thought he'd say, "I'll be there in a week or 2 weeks." He said, "Yeah, it'll probably take 8 to 12 weeks to get the doors." What? And so he called up this week, and yesterday he worked from like 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock last night, installed those two doors, and we have some grant money to help pay for those as well. That is a blessing to all of us, because that is what we are about, helping people. The church is not, amen. If you're going to clap, come on, let's really clap for him. The church is not just, let's go to church. I love to be here. We raised our family. I love it when I hear Ryan talking about, you know, we go to church. That's part of what we do. We need one another. I came in here today more in need of you and God than you are. And I need this. But it goes beyond this today. We're doing things 7 days a week. Not only is the food pantry open those 2 days, you know, for the last, we've only missed a few where we haven't had the Wednesday food distributions at St. Anthony's. And this Wednesday will be the last one for the year. If you've never been to one, if you're able to, you know, work your time out, come to that. It'll impact you when you see a line of cars that starts across from the church at St. Anthony's all the way down Liberty Street to Max Pies and around the corner on Jackson Street. They'll be there. There'll be cars lined up at 7 o'clock. Some are coming at 6 o'clock in the morning. I drove on the way to the gym. It was early one day. It was like 5:40. I drove up there. There was already a half a dozen cars parked there. These are people that are going through a difficult season. And thank you, Lord, that He entrusted all of us to be a part of God's answer for their lives right now. Amen. And so not only that, but you know, we sent a check to FoodLink just for the food pantry this last month. Not the Wednesdays, not the food distribution, for the food pantry. We sent a check for $1,700. And Nick and Kathy LaFanera, who take care of it with a whole bunch of other people on Saturdays and Thursdays as well, said that yesterday it was packed, that they had a line right around the side of the building. There is a need there. Thank you for your giving to help meet that need. We do get some grants for things, but God grants you and I the ability and the opportunity to give to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, I had somebody come up to me this morning and say, ask about it. They said, this person is working. They're going through a divorce. They don't have anything. They feel ashamed. I want to tell everybody, you never have to feel ashamed coming and asking us for anything. Listen to me, those of you who are watching at home. If you're feeling ashamed, don't you do it. You come. We love you. This is a people. I wish I could just take the camera and swing it around here. This is a people that loves people. Amen. Come on, church. Let's let them know at home. We love you. And so we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of your life with that. This Thursday night, we have guests coming to sing again Christmas songs. It's kind of something that we've started the last couple, 2, 3, maybe 4 years, where we bring in some people from out of town, and they're coming in this Thursday. It'll be an incredible night together. And then our Christmas Eve services, check out again our Facebook and our website page to know what time those are. Aaron and Malachi, are you around here? Oh, there you are. I didn't even know you came back in. I got some stuff we want to give away to you. Come on up here so we can read what that is. What do we got here? We've got chicken soup for the military's wife, Soul. That's pretty cool. Mean Girls. Oh, she said, she's giving me. Mean Girls, Facing Your Beauty Turned Beast. Yeah, some of you ladies are beasts. Amen. Now, that's a good way. I meant that in a good way. Marriage on Trial. Whoa. Every Young Woman's Battle. A Lady in Waiting, Developing Your Love Relationship. What do you got over there, Malachi? He's got the manly stuff. So raise your hand. Aaron's going to walk up that aisle over there. It's not too late. It's not about me. Some Max Lucado books, Stormy O'Mardian, The Power of Praying, Morning Glory, Juanita Bynum. That's an old one. The Bondage Breaker, and God is Faithful. There, go ahead. Raise your hand if you're interested. These guys will bring them to you. We want to be a blessing to you today and this week. Lord, thank you so much for this moment. I pray your blessing over every life. May your love and your peace be upon them, I ask, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I love all of you. You look beautiful today, too. You really do. You look good. You just sounded good this morning singing. You're just awesome. Look at your neighbor and just say, Merry Christmas. Come on. Look at the person on your other side that was your second choice and tell them, Feliz Navidad. Come on. I am really aware of the condition that our world is in, and even our region right now. It's been very difficult on many people. It's a hard time. I feel just so much from the Lord that we are to continue to be that blessing and to be that help to as many people as we can, because for some people, this Christmas, it's different. It's difficult. It's hard. It's challenging. But I want to encourage you to believe God. I want to encourage you to believe Him for things that that look to you that are out of control, and to know He has things under control. And in particular, to be reminded that we are not alone, that over 2,000 years ago, a Savior has come into the world for you and I and has redeemed us to live and live a life of abundance. And I want to talk to you today about I'm just going to be just a couple moments today about Christmas decisions and the story out of Isaiah chapter 9, that 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah prophesies who this gift would be to us and what He would do for us. And it all comes and it stems from the decisions that we make. And this is such a time of year for us to make decisions. We got so many decisions in front of us all the time. We're thinking about, you know, Christmas. We're thinking about who we should give something to, who we don't have to, who's on our Christmas card. Does anybody still send Christmas cards? Let me see your hand. There's a few. Praise the Lord. Who do we do that with? How do we do that? You know, do we have people over? Do we not? What do we do for a gathering? How are we going to meet all those needs? What are the decisions that we are going to make on a regular basis in our lives? How are we going to celebrate this time of year? This last Friday night, Patty and I were home, and Ryan and Sam and the boys came over and said, "Hey, you want to go with us? We're going up to Pembroke, Alexander, to where the old steam show is held every year, and they have a light display." So sure, we get in the car, and we're riding up there, and Sam's GPS is taking us on these back roads and around. We turn down this one row, and I see this row of lights. I mean car lights. Now, I don't mean from, like, here to the door. I mean, like, from here to Bergen, it seemed like. I mean, you could say, and I'm thinking to myself, we got a decision to make here, except I wasn't driving. I just kept my mouth shut, and Ryan was driving. He stayed right in line. And we're inching up, and I'm thinking, we're not going to get home until Saturday morning the way this is going. And I mean, this is a decision. And so we finally off the road, and we turn up this path, this roadway that's leading up to this field, and you know, the line seems to be getting shorter. We're going to see it. It's leading up to the top of this hill. We get up to the crest of the hill, and it's like 3 miles in front of us, solid car lights. I go, my Lord Jesus, we're not getting home. I won't be able to preach on Sunday. This line's so long, and we stay in the line, and I mean, we're moving. And I'm thinking, these lights, it better be Disney World or what are we doing here? And we go up further, and I mean, the cars are just barely moving. But you know what? It's Christmas. We got, you know, Sam says, "Ryan, turn on Christmas." We got Christmas music going on. There's kids are singing in the back, and then they're fighting, and then, you know, it's just everything is going on. And we get up there and find out you got to pay $10 to come into this thing. And we're wondering where the guy is to give $10. And I'm thinking about, we got all these cars behind us, all these cars in front of us. I said to Ryan, I said, "Ask them if they take a credit card." And then we get up closer and I said, "Tell them the third car behind us is our friends." And they said they were going to pay. And he didn't do any of that. I know some of you are saying, "I can't believe you'd think that way." I think that way sometimes. Paid the money. Drive through. Then we get through the thing, and it's moving like, you know, like a snail. We get up, and there's a sign. Right lane for food. Left lane to drive out. And I'm thinking to myself, "Dear Lord, please, lay on Ryan's heart. We are not hungry. Let's stay make the decision to stay in this lane. I got to get home for tonight. I'm not used to sleeping in a car. I want to go home. This line for the food, for cotton candy, it was like from here to Walmart long. People were waiting for a sausage with peppers and onions on it. A blooming onion. Listen, you guys, amen. French fries with butter. Yeah. Well, we got in that left lane, and thank God we got out of there. Then we stopped at Oliver's and had ice cream with chocolate syrup and nuts on it. Come on, can I get an amen in here this morning? Decisions, decisions, decisions. That's what Christmas is about, though, isn't it? Just can we be together? Can we have fun? Can we make some decisions that will carry us into our destiny? And Isaiah tells us 700 years before the birth of Jesus about the son that is given. He said, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." 700 years prior. And the government will be on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And my brothers and my sisters, when I allow him to have ownership and allow him to come in to my life, not just into the superficial places of my life, but into the recesses, into the corners, into the places where I don't let anybody else in, into the places that maybe I don't like to talk about, into the places that we may be ashamed of. When we allow him to come in, when we make that decision for him to come in, and he comes in, we find help, we find hope, we find peace, because he really cares. And instead of us coming to that place in our lives and us just answering with this, you know, sometimes people say, "Hey, how you doing? Can I do anything for you?" And people just, they come up with this term in this 21st century, in this season that we're in particular, say, "I'm good." And the reality is, you're not good. You're using that as just a blanket to cover up a whole bunch of stuff in your life that God wants to help with. And you have to make the choice to let him be that helper to you. In fact, you have to make the choice to let him be the Wonderful Counselor into your life. And I've met and talked to and literally interviewed counselors for the last probably 30 years. Because if I have responsibility of what I do, of sending people to individuals, I want to make sure that they pass some of the tests that I think. And so I talk to them and I find out where they're at. I've worked on that for a lot of years to find out who is the best. But I've come to find out that in all my seeking, in all my learning, that Jesus is the greatest counselor that I could ever point anybody to. He is someone that you can talk to, who is always there to listen to you, and if you slow down and pay attention, he will even talk back to you. He will give you supernatural wisdom for your life, and he will help you make decisions in your life. Not just decisions that will help you out of where you are right now, but he'll help you make decisions that may be difficult now, but will carry you the distance into the destiny and the future that God has for your life. That is the Wonderful Counselor that we have. And I might not like it right now, but if I'll listen and do what he says, he will be a blessing in my life. Oh, I could tell you story after story where I've sought that counselor out, and he's told me, "You need to do this, this, and this," and I'm thinking, there must be somebody else. It's like the guy that slipped over the edge. He was trusting God. He slipped over the edge of this hill, and he grabbed onto this branch. And he said, "God, help me." He didn't hear nothing. He said it again, "God, help me." And he said it one more time, "God, help me." And all of a sudden, he heard the voice of God say, "Let go." He thought for a moment, he said, "Is there anyone else that can help me?" That's kind of what we do when God tells us what we need to do. But our counselor understands who we are. I was on the radio this week. I filled in for my friend Neil Boron on WDCX. And I brought up the scripture that God takes and makes beauty for ashes. And I had people call, tell something you want to share that God has really done great, or if you need prayer, I'll pray for you. It was just an amazing couple hours that we had a ton of people calling at one moment. And this man called that really impacted my life. And he said, "Pastor Marty, 21, 22 years ago, I just became foolish and I left my wife and I ended up in a little one-room apartment. And one day I just hit the wall. I didn't know what to do. And I knew I had made a terrible decision. And I found myself falling to my knees and asking God to forgive me and to come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord." And he felt God begin to speak to him. And he didn't know how to make the turn. But all of a sudden, God empowered him in the moment to make the right decisions. He said, "Pastor Marty, that's 22 years ago now. I've been married nearly 43 years to that woman, and our life has never been better. My kids are all loving the Lord. My family is serving the Lord. And it's all because he listened to a wonderful counselor in his life at that moment." Come on, can you say amen to that in this house today? He will be your mighty counselor, wonderful counselor. He will be your mighty God, mightier than your setbacks, mightier than your failures, mightier than COVID-19. He's a Christ who walked on water, who died voluntarily for your sins and mine, and personally rose again on the third day from the dead to conquer death, hell, and the grave, to conquer sickness and disease, to conquer depression and fear, to conquer failure and pain and hurt. He has come as God himself in the flesh to conquer. He is a mighty God. The Bible says in John 8:58 that before Abraham was, he was. He was in the beginning, he is now, and he is in the end. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is our end. And he is mightier than our fear. He is mightier than our obstacles that we're dealing with. In fact, the Hebrew word means he is invincible. And can I tell you something? He may be underestimated, but he is always invincible. He will be your strength in the struggle. He will help you with the issues in your life in dark moments. And when your heart is full of heartache and tragedy, we have to remember what a mighty God that we serve. God has promised to take care of you. Some of you need to hear that. God, not the government, has promised to take care of you. You need to know that today. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will open up the windows of heaven and he will pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to take it all in. In a state of chaos, God is still on his throne. He is going to make everything okay. I believe that with all my heart. He's not at a loss looking for answers or shaking on his throne thinking, "Oh, what am I going to do?" He is our God. He is a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father. He will help you and I through in a time of need. He has promised to show us great and mighty things that we don't even know of yet. He is a mighty God. Come on, can you put your hands together for a mighty God today? And third, he'll be an everlasting Father to you and I. This word in the Hebrew means that there is no end to his fathering. Oh, I thank God for that. It actually, I read this other translation. It gives the idea of in perpetuity. There is no end. He'll always be that Father to you. He's not one that just shows up when it's convenient or when there's a photo op. He is always there. He shows up when you are in trouble. He shows up when you don't know what to do. And I want to testify to you today that when I was 11, my dad was out of my life. But the Bible says in Psalm 68:5, I read this one time when I was alone and fearful, that he is a father to the fatherless. And I tell you, when I was in trouble, when I was up against it, when I was lonely, when I was depressed, when I didn't know what to do, when I didn't have an answer, when I was young, and even when I was a little older, the Bible says he is a father to the fatherless. He will never lead you or forsake you. I want to ask you, do you need a father in your life today? And listen, I've had a lot of people over my life say, "I want to be a father to you." And that's very kind and that's very nice. But I've had some of the same people that say, I want to be a father to you. They left me when things were tough. Nobody can be your father like your everlasting father can be. Nobody can fill that place in your life like your heavenly father can. He will stand with you when you have made mistakes. When everyone else says it's over, the everlasting father says, wait a minute, I've got an answer for you. And he's here to always remind us. When we don't think we can, he's there to say, yes, you can. When we get stuck, he is the one that pulls us out. When the horse kicks us off, he is the one that stands next to us, like Ryan said a couple weeks ago, and says to you and I, get back up on the horse. Your life is not over. You can make it. You got a destiny. You got a purpose in your life. That's what an everlasting father is in our lives. Come on today. And then, lastly, he is our Prince of Peace. He's not just peace, but the Bible calls him here the Prince of Peace. That means he is the originator. He is the ruler. He is the beginning of all peace. We can't know real peace without who he is. And it's here to remind us that in a season that has come that is kind of messed up right now, it's just jacked up in everywhere we go. Every direction that we turn, we have something or someone. It's just, I don't know. It's like you're playing that game Jenga. Things are pulling out from us all the way. And we're kind of standing there waiting and wondering, when are we going to just fall over? Can I tell you, he's the Prince of Peace. He puts the pieces back in there. He speaks to us in chaos. He speaks to us when we're defeated. He restores order to all things. He brings peace in our lives when there's pain. He brings peace to what has been broken, torn apart. He is the Prince of Peace. I feel like saying this morning to somebody. He's also our healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth thee. For somebody that is watching online this morning, maybe you're in the throes of some type of sickness or something's going on in your life. I speak life over you. I speak healing over your life today. If you're in here today, if you've gotten a bad word, somebody in your family, something is going on, I speak peace over your life today in the name of Jesus. One of the other words for peace is prosperity, that God will bless you. He is the Prince of Peace. He will give you what you have need of today. And he reconciles all things. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, listen to this, God was in Christ. God, Elohim, Jehovah, God was in Christ the man, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three in one, the Trinity. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Not, the King James says, imputing. It means not counting their sin or your sin against you anymore. I'm going to drop the mic someday. In fact, get me an old one that I can just agree and drop it. God doesn't count your sin against you anymore. I did a ceremony yesterday, and one of the individuals there said, if I could just get over the fact and believe that God could forgive me. Can I tell you today? God was in Christ. Jesus sent from heaven above. This is what Christmas is. Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, born from a virgin, and delivers a child who is carrying the gift and the life of God in himself. God was in Christ, not counting your sin against you no more. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And verse 21 says, he who knew no sin, Christ God in Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He who knew no sin, perfect, holy, righteous, just. He who knew no sin took on the sin of the world. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hey, Merry Christmas. That's God's gift to you and I, the Prince of all peace. And he not only takes your messes and erases them, he brings the balance of your life. He reconciles you. He brings it to zero. You are free. Your sin, the Bible says, is as far as from the east as from the west. He remembers it no more. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin before him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. They will pray for them and anoint them with oil, James 5 says. And if they have committed sin, it shall be forgiven them. Come on, you ought to clap better than that this morning. He's your counselor. He's your mighty God. He's your Father. He is your Prince of Peace. And in your pain, in your struggle, in your loss, if you'll reach out to him, in your marriage, in your family, if your friendships have been injured, have been broken, let him be the Prince of Peace to your life. Depression, loneliness, addictions, give them all to him. Close your eyes and bow your head with me right now as I close. Spirit of the living God, have your way in our hearts and in our lives today. Be what we need. Be our counselor. Be our help today, I pray. Some people need your peace today. Some people need a father today. Oh, let that be our portion today. If you've never given your life, your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, even those that are watching online, if you've never given your life to him, just come to him. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord today. I give you thanks for it today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said a great amen.
I will sing of your goodness. I will sing of your love. Though the seasons come quickly, you have always been enough. Though the night might get dark, though the waiting seems long, you have always been faithful to remind me of your love. You are good. In the morning I'll say you are good. In the evening I'll say you are good. You are good to me. Oh, you have always been patient. You have always been kind. He's consistent through the ages. Oh, what a friend of mine. Oh, we'll remind our souls to bless you, standing firm upon your truth, knowing you will not be shaken. We've seen what you can do. Oh, you are good. On this morning I'll say you are good. Oh, tonight I'll sing you are good. You are good to me. Oh, you have always been patient. You have always been kind. He's consistent through the ages. Oh, what a friend of mine. I'll remind my soul to bless you, standing firm upon your truth, knowing he will not be shaken. We've seen what he can do. Oh, you are good. You say, in the morning I say you are good. Oh, tonight I say you are good. You are good to me. Well, sing it again, sing it again. Say you are good. In the morning I say you are good. In the evening I say you are good. To me, oh, you sing it, church. You are good. You sing it. Oh, in the morning, you are good. You sing it. In the, you are good. You are good to me. Come on, give the Jesus a hand. Father, we thank you for everything that's happened in this place. We pray that you'll seal it in our hearts. We pray that you'll seal it in our homes, in our spirit, Father. We just thank you for this season. Our hearts are so grateful. Our hearts are alive, in tune with you, Father. Speak to us. Show us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. Thanks for being here today.